This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It is Friday, time for our reporter roundtable when we get news that made headlines this last week. And our panel today, Kevin Richard with Idaho Ed News, Troy Oppie with Boise State Public Radio News, and we are welcoming Rachel Spacek with the Idaho Press. Rachel covers agriculture, Latinos, and Canyon County. Happy Friday, everybody.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Indeed. Happy Friday.
Hello.
And Rachel, welcome to this fun-filled next hour.
So, thank Troy, you so much.
You are more than welcome. Troy, I want to start with you. What happened yesterday at the Central District Health meeting? Because there have been some things about bars in Boise wanting to potentially reopen. Ada County might be going to Category 2. Just kind of get us up to date.
Yeah, so yesterday's meeting of the Central District Health Board was around a single topic, and that was eight bar owners representing a dozen establishments in Boise had come together to officially petition the district to allow them to reopen. Some bars in the area have skirted the closure by offering food, you know, a hot plate or a cereal bar. That has been able to keep some places open. None of these bars are doing well necessarily. Several have had to lay off staff recently, even though they've been able to remain open. But these eight bar owners hired David Leroy, the former state attorney general, to represent them. He made their case yesterday in front of the district health board. And it's basically, look, we can open the same way restaurants can open. We can institute mask policies. We can enforce distancing via limiting capacity. We'll close our dance floors. We'll close bar top service, which means customers have to sit at tables and be served, as is the case in a more traditional restaurant or pub. And we can do this, and we can use our own security to manage the lines outside on the sidewalk, which is, there have been photos circulating around of blocks in downtown Boise with masses of people clearly not wearing masks or social distancing, waiting to get inside some of these clubs. The bar owners say they can do all that. And in what I considered a bit of a surprise, Russell Duke, the director of the health district, agreed. He supported that move. The health board looked at all the data and primarily balked because they did not want to open bars before schools were reopened. And so the health board voted the proposal down and immediately followed it with a substitute motion from Ada County Commissioner Diana Lisciando to allow bars to reopen if schools were allowed to reopen. Now, within all this, Director Duke said, we are redefining the way that we are going to classify risk for these counties. So you have the three-level system, Category 1, minimal spread, Category 2, moderate spread, Category 3, substantial community spread. And that's where Ada and Canyon County have been for the last nearly 2 months now. Russell Duke says, we're going to change the way that we're classifying this, and the data looks really good that we think, he didn't guarantee it, but we think we can reduce Ada County next week from the significant community spread Category 3 down to Category 2, moderate community spread. That move would line up with school districts' plans to reopen for in-person learning, which, based on what Central District Health then passed last night for bars, would allow bars to reopen if bars have their individual plans approved by Central District Health. Mm.
So similar to what restaurants had to do, Troy, back when they could reopen, they had to submit plans, had to get that approved by Central District Health.
Correct. And all indications are from Director Duke was that the restaurant plans have worked. They haven't experienced some of those cluster outbreaks that we saw from Memorial Day weekend when bars reopened and you immediately had, you know, dozens of people getting COVID-19 directly tied back to those bar reopenings. That's what he wants to avoid because that hasn't necessarily been the case in these restaurants. That's why Director Duke says the health district staff supported the bar owners in that measure. And it comes just in the nick of time because I spoke to David Leroy this morning, the attorney who represented them. They were happy with the decision. It wasn't exactly what they were going for. They were hoping for something more immediate, but given the potential of reopening next week, they were happy. And many of them are close to some substantial financial problems, as are their employees, if they still have people to employ. So this comes at the nick of time from a business perspective for many.
So Troy, did the issue of how they're going to mitigate people waiting in these lines, because as you mentioned, there was a particular picture that went basically viral last week.
Right. It's an ironic phrase now, isn't it?
I mean, right? Yeah. Yeah, totally. But I mean, people were waiting. It's a popular downtown bar right there on Main Street. I mean, people lined up down the block, no social distancing, no masks.
Right.
I mean, you can put all of those regulations in effect inside the bar, but it's before they get in the bar.
Yeah, and those same exact pictures exist from the Memorial Day weekend, the first time that this was tried as well. You know, the bar owners said, we are willing to put our own bar security to this task, to the extent that we can do it on the sidewalk, you know, the 20, 30, whatever it is, feet of space in front of the building. And they're going to have to get buy-in from patrons. You know, they're going to have to tell people that show up, look, if you screw around and don't follow these rules, we may have to close again next week. Right. Because Russell Duke did not rule out, even if we you know, shift Ada County down to Category 2 and bars can now reopen with all these things in place, safety measures in place. If there are outbreaks tied back to bars again, the health district will close bars again. So it's going to have to be this mutual effort that we've been talking about for months, and who knows if it's really going to work.
Right. So I want to stick with the education theme because there's a lot to get to. So Kevin, let's start with universities. How is that going in mitigating COVID cases?
Well, so far the numbers are, they're not as high for Idaho colleges and universities as we've seen at colleges mm-hmm. and universities around the country where we're having hundreds of cases. In Idaho, the numbers are more in the dozens or in a handful of cases.
So why do they think that? I mean, is part of it that we know that at U of I they were going to be doing, you know, testing all students? Is it just, you know, students following the rules?
Well, not exactly. I mean, we've had instances, and we had it last Friday at Boise State, where three fraternities and 18 students were suspended because they mm-hmm. were connected to large gatherings that are that violate the coronavirus protocols for the campus. So it's not complete compliance, but so far the numbers are not bad. I mean, when you look at U of I's numbers, as they posted earlier this week, they're doing, you know, a couple thousand tests, and they're getting about a 1% positivity rate. And if you've been watching what the positivity rates have been statewide, that's a pretty good percentage. That's well below that 5% threshold that people talk about that they want to see. So right now, the numbers don't look too bad. But as I've been kind of saying all along, and I think these next couple of weeks are really going to be critical. You know, mm-hmm. we're only 2 weeks into classes at U of I and Boise State and most of the other universities. Idaho State's only 3 weeks in. Now you've got a long holiday weekend. And I think college and university administrators are much more worried about how do students behave? How do they conduct themselves off hours, you know, on weekends? You know, you can control the environment a little bit more when it's a classroom. You can control the environment a little bit more even when it's a dormitory. But how do you control the environment when it's the weekend and mm-hmm. college students are getting together, they're going to a party on or off campus, they're going to a bar off campus? That's going to tell the tale. And I think, you know, a couple of weeks from now, we'll have a much better idea of whether this experiment of reopening the campuses in Idaho is working out.
Well, and Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but every story that I have read about colleges and universities across the country where there have been these outbreaks, it hasn't happened in a classroom. It hasn't happened, you know, within, as you said, what the colleges can control. These are, they are, there are parties that have been happening, off-campus events that have been happening, and that's where the issues have come in.
Yes, exactly. It's college kids being college kids. And,
right.
You know, it's, you know, the universities and the colleges have tried to do all of the right things. They've, some of them have instituted wellness pledges. All of them have mask requirements. All of them have, well, a couple of them, I know Boise State and U of I have really tried to talk up the importance of masks, doing kind of a campus public awareness campaign. That's all well and good, but how does that take with students? And how does that take with students off hours? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's really going to be a test of, you know, kind of the collective will of the student body. Are they on board with this idea? Do they see that these measures are necessary if they want to continue with face-to-face learning and continue with on-campus learning? You know, let's talk about this in a couple of weeks when we see what the numbers look like in a couple of weeks, because you know, we'll have a much better idea whether these colleges and universities are going to make it through the fall semester.
Right, exactly. So, Rachel, let's stick with the school theme and some good news coming for Middleton and West Ada school districts because their levies passed.
Yes, that news was kind of overshadowed by the special session last yeah. week, but both of those levies, Middleton's has failed twice this year, West Ada failed once, and I know I've been in several Middleton school district meetings, and they were making some severe cuts in preparation for this levy not to go through. So it's great news for them that it has gone through, and West Ada as well.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have more reporter roundtable right after this and really digging into school reopenings because, man, it is literally all over the board. More Idaho Matters right after this. More Idaho Matters and our reporter roundtable right now. Our panel, Kevin Richert with Idaho Ed News, Troy Oppie with Boise State Public Radio News, and we're welcoming Rachel Spacek with the Idaho Press. She covers agriculture, Latinos, and Kenyon County. I want to dig into K-12 schools and what's going on with reopening. And Kevin, you just wrote a pretty in-depth article in regards to just, frankly, how chaotic this has been. And is it because of that there's local control? So, you know, you can choose from a district level how and what you decide to do.
Exactly. I mean, it's chaotic on so many levels, Gemma. I mean, and I was thinking of it as Troy was walking through the CDH meeting from last night. I mean, who could have imagined that we'd be at a point where the political compromise would be, well, let's open bars, provided we can open schools. I mean, that's, right. You know, who saw this coming?
I mean, I realize that sometimes you need a drink as a parent with all of this hybrid and online learning, but come on, let's get schools open, you know, in some capacity.
This was not on my 2020 bingo card, or I don't know.
Right.
Else. But the on a serious point, I mean, what we're seeing with all of these school districts and all of these charter schools is exactly what we could have seen coming. You know, back in the spring, the state decided to close all of schools, all K-12 schools. In the summer, it was very clear that Governor Little and the State Board of Education wanted to get away from that. They did not want to be in a position where we were looking at a statewide closure. And most states have not gone with a statewide approach this fall. You know, what we're seeing in Idaho is fairly similar to what's happening in dozens of other states, where it's really coming down to decisions being made by the school board or a local health district. And in Idaho, it's been made very clear that the state wants the school districts making those decisions with consultation, with guidance from the health districts. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's why the Boise School District went online only, and why the West Ada District will go online only when it opens on Tuesday. But elsewhere in Ada County, the CUNA School District opened this week with a blended model where kids are in school a couple of days a week and they're learning from home, learning virtually the rest of the week, even though CUNA is in Ada County along with Boise and West Ada, and even though Central District Health's recommendations for schools in Ada County is a recommendation to go online only. So CUNA is going its own route, which the district is allowed to do. The district is allowed to take the guidance from the health district and, in this case, decide to go a different way.
So I want to break down how what's going on with all of these school districts. So Rachel, since you cover Canyon County, let's start in Canyon County. Can you talk about Nampa and the Nampa School District and what they have decided to do?
Yes. So Nampa officially started on the 24th. Okay. And fully online. So that's kind of where they were at. And then I believe on Wednesday, okay, they had a meeting with lengthy public testimony and made a decision to remain fully online until Southwest District Health moves Canyon County from the highest risk level where it's been now for a while. So the soonest that they could possibly open up is if Southwest District Health in their meeting next week decides to move Canyon County out of the highest risk level, and then Nampa would potentially decide to open around September 21st. But I mean, Canyon County is still in the highest risk level, and right, I am not sure what experts are saying if there's any possibility of moving out of that anytime soon.
Well, and there's no mask mandate in Canyon County or as Southwest District Health, so which can play into that as well. So then, Rachel, there's Caldwell and the Caldwell School District, and they're online too, but do they potentially have an end date?
So they've been pretty committed to staying online, and they are online at least until October 2nd. When they will meet again and probably analyze the same data that Nampa would, and may decide to move a level down if Canyon County isn't in that highest risk level. But Caldwell is one that is has been pretty adamant about being online until October.
So then in Canyon County, there is the Valley View School District. So Rachel, they're in a hybrid model, but take us back to right before the school year opened, because they had a significant exposure to COVID.
Yes, they did. So they opened in a hybrid model on the 25th, but on the 13th, 12 staff members, and this is a combination of staff and some teachers, we're meeting in a district room on campus, and the superintendent, Pat Charlton, told me after the fact that they were in a room that did not allow for any kind of social distancing. So, of course, after the meeting, someone in the meeting tested positive for coronavirus, leading those teachers and employees to have to quarantine. So, that some of them missed the first day of school because they were in quarantine. And from what I've heard, none of them have tested positive. So it was just that one case. But it was kind of ironic how just a week before they were supposed to come back in person in the hybrid model, they had a case on campus.
Mm-hmm. And we should note that in Payette, they reopened, fully reopened, no mask mandate in place, ended up having to close down. And now when they reopen, they've now said they're going to require masks. And I know, Kevin, did I get that right with Payette?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so then let's go into Ada County, Kevin. And you've mentioned already, West Ada will start September 8th, will start Tuesday online, but potentially they're going to bring students back, but it would be the youngest, youngest grades.
Right. So West Ada and Boise are taking a similar approach in two ways. They want to begin by getting youngest students into school first, and they also want to tie any reopening, even a partial reopening, to recommendations from Central District Health. And we alluded to this earlier. It looks like, from the indications from Central District Health, that Ada County schools may move off of this red category and into this yellow category as early as Tuesday. And when that happens, the health department will be recommending that you can go to a blended learning approach. You can have the schools open part-time. So what Boise is talking about is really kind of a slow rollout into classroom learning. If they get the go-ahead from Central District Health on Tuesday, let's just walk through for sake of argument. If CDH gives them the go-ahead on Tuesday, Boise would hope to reopen on September 21st for pre-K students through second grade students part-time. And all other students would still be working at home full-time. Then a couple of weeks later, they would bring in the rest of the elementary school students. Then a couple of weeks later, they would open up the junior high schools and high schools, again, part-time. And then maybe in November, if it all goes well, all students would be able to attend school full-time. Now, that's maybe a reach because the health department has said that, this area may not get to a point anytime this school year where the health district would feel comfortable recommending full-time face-to-face instruction. We may not get to that recommendation anytime this school year, let alone November. So a lot could change in the next few weeks. And even by the most optimistic calendar from Boise, it's going to be more than a month before high school kids are back in school, junior high school kids are back in school, and 2 months before you have anything like full-time face-to-face learning. And that's if everything goes well.
Well, and Kevin, I mean, when you talk about November potentially, I mean, that's also when we start getting into cold and flu season. So, who knows what that's going to look like come November?
No, that's a really good point, and that's a point that Governor Little was making on Thursday when he did his presser. He said, "We're heading into a potentially difficult time these next few weeks and months because schools are going back into session. Weather's getting cooler, so people are going to spend more time inside where the coronavirus is more likely to spread, and you're going to have the flu season coming up in the next few weeks." And the governor urgently pushing for Idahoans to get a flu vaccine so that you can, limit the spread of the flu when you're also dealing with the pandemic. So you're right. There are a lot of variables. There are a lot of things that make you think that an optimistic schedule of fully reopening in November is, it could be really optimistic. So much could change and probably not for the better.
Right. And then on top of all of this, Kevin, I mean, we've only gone through, Canyon County into Ada County for public schools. Private schools are a whole nother ball of wax, and how they decide to reopen. And I do know that some of them are working very closely with Central District Health and going along with their regulations, but they don't necessarily have to do that, I'm assuming.
No, private schools can go their own way. I know there's one within about a half a mile of my house that's open full time for students. I mean, that's, but I think this is going to be, boy, I'm tired of the phrase new normal. I'm going to use it, and
It's just normal now.
I'm going to slap myself when we get off air for doing it. But this is what we're dealing with right now, and this is what we're going to be dealing with for the school year. We've launched a page on our website that's a map that we're going to be updating in real time just to try to let people know what schools are open, what schools are online only, what schools are in a hybrid model, what schools are requiring masks or recommending masks, and how does this all sync with the local health district assessment of the situation. That's going to be a job for us, just keeping that map current. So, we encourage people to check it out and to let us know if there's something that needs to be updated because that's going to be a living document.
It is. And I've told my kids with the model that we're in is that it's like, look, if we're lucky, maybe after spring break, maybe you'll go full time. But I said, honestly, we need to prepare for this being the school year and how it looks for this entire year.
And I think that's part of the reason why you see a growing number of parents moving their kids into the online learning models that are being offered in West Ada and Boise, just to have some kind of certainty. I don't think anybody's saying that this is the best way to operate in 2020. I mean, I don't think there are a lot of new fans of online learning, of homeschooling, but I think you've got parents saying, "I just want to know what's going to happen next week. I just want to have something that I can, sort of plan around for the next few months, even if I'm planning around something I really don't want to do. At least I know what's going to happen between now and December. So I if you had a surge in enrollment in Boise and West Ada in the online school, parents just wanting something that they can count on.
Absolutely. Before we take a break, Troy, I want to talk about athletics when it comes to K through 12 reopening.
I'm not sure we have enough time.
Right? Okay. Let's keep it to West Ada then right now.
Yeah.
Because as Kevin mentioned, they are starting on Tuesday online, yet they've already started playing sports.
And they've had team sport practices open and available for much of the summer, which they say have gone very well. Participation is higher than it's ever been. The district athletic director told me a couple weeks ago, and they're ready to go. Meanwhile, Boise has teams practicing in pods of not more than 10. You have Nampa that was full stop and now apparently doesn't want to get left behind and is full go. You have Caldwell that isn't participating in anything. Valley View has been full go from early August as soon as they were able. The Moscow School District has done a complete flip-flop on this. They said, we're not playing at all, intramurals only, and then changed their mind and said, no, we're going to do it instead. So as messy as the entire school district's just the base learning education model is, sports is maybe even messier because you're not only dealing with, you know, an enclosed school building where we need to teach kids here or online and that's that. These teams are playing each other. And you have districts with different rules and games scheduled that are now not going to happen. And I don't think mess is the appropriate word for it at the moment. I think it's worse.
And you know, Troy, I have to say, I mean, just anecdotally from being a parent myself, you know, my boys have not been playing sports since all of this went, you know, everything stopped. I mean, my son was, you know, was ending his spring basketball season and, you know, was playing in the spring through the summer. My kids play basketball. And, you know, there has been a full stop on that. And I tell you what, from an emotional and a mental health perspective, I get why parents would want their kids back in sports. It's not a decision that we have felt comfortable with yet as a family, but I can see why parents would want that and why kids would want it, right?
Well, absolutely. It's fun. I mean, and this is, there's so much time and effort that goes into this. The flip side of that coin, as you restart things on short notice, and I feel good saying this as a former high school and barely collegiate football player, you cannot, I had a cup of coffee, that's it. You cannot restart a sport like football on short notice if you haven't been practicing or if you've been practicing. Like, it is not safe because kids have to be at a certain level of physicality, conditioning-wise. Not to mention, you have 11 people running at full speed in all different places. That needs to be core. That takes a lot of practice. And if you are not practiced up on that, if you are not in shape, the risk of injury goes through the roof. I will a quick story about me, and then we can take a break. I had a summer job at a fast food restaurant in high school. I was not in shape. I got hurt so much. It's not even funny. This is 20 years ago now. I'm not in shape now either. But like with football especially, these other sports, you can pick these up at a safer rate, in my opinion. Football is not one of them. And you need time and you need practice to do it safely.
Absolutely. Going to take a quick break. We'll have more with our reporter roundtable right after this. More of our reporter roundtable right now. And Rachel, I forgot to ask you in the last segment about the Middleton School District and the model that they are moving forward with, because that once again goes back to this whole idea of every district is so different.
Yeah, exactly. So Middleton made the decision Monday to do that blended learning model that Valley View is doing, which is 2 days of face-to-face and 2 days of online. And these are like different groups of students, so an AB type schedule. And Middleton made that decision because they they believe that, I mean, the board has been pretty adamant that they want students in the classroom as often as possible, even in their highest risk level. They have students going in one day a week. So they've been pretty adamant about wanting students in the classroom, and they are going to be using zip code specific information about COVID cases, and will be meeting every 2 weeks to decide how to move forward with that.
So Kevin, in the midst of all of this, virtual charter schools have seen a bump in enrollment, right? And that kind of goes back to what you were mentioning about parents want to be able to make some type of plan, right? So if you put them in a virtual school, at least you have a plan. I would think that's good news for charter schools, but not necessarily.
Yeah, that was an interesting nuance to this story. So I don't think anybody would be surprised that the virtual charter schools are seeing a spike in enrollment for all of the reasons that we've discussed. But it's not necessarily good news for the charter schools. You'd think that they're having their moment, but their concern is that students may be enrolling in the virtual schools short term, and they may return to their home schools, they may return to face-to-face learning when the opportunity presents itself. And then these virtual schools will be on the hook to pay the teacher salaries, to pay the teachers that they hired to handle this short-term spike in enrollment, even when they're not getting state funding that comes with students. So your enrollment drops, your funding drops, but you still have contracts with teachers. So the virtual schools are concerned that this growth may not be sustainable and may actually cause financial problems for them down the road.
That's a really good point, though, because, I mean, that honestly is what could happen. And then, Troy, so here we've been focused on, reopening schools and this and that, but we did mention in the beginning when we were talking about the Central District Health meeting yesterday and bars being in real financial straits, and their employees being affected. Talk about what we're seeing when it does come to unemployment trends here in Idaho.
Well, the numbers in Idaho are better than average across the country. They're still, four times what they would normally be this time of year, but it is disproportionately impacting service workers, still disproportionately impacting women over men. And nationally, you see a broader trend of, if you were listening to the NPR newscast nearly 40 minutes ago now, the news today is that the unemployment rate is down below 9%, which is, ultimately far better than a lot of people thought we would be at this point. There were thoughts of predictions of unemployment more than 20%. We're not there. That's great. The context of that is, some of these jobs that have been picked up are census jobs. They're temporary. A lot of the jobs that have come back are people returning off of furlough, which, make no mistake, is great. And you see that in Idaho too. But there is the rate of permanent job loss nationally is starting to creep up. And if you look at the numbers again, and this is national, we don't have a great breakdown for this at the state level, I would expect it would mirror it to a certain extent. While that overall unemployment rate nationally is under 9%, it's nearly double that for people of color and people who work service industry jobs. And so those are the folks that are in trouble here. So the numbers look great. It's funny. There is something for both sides of the aisle politically to look at with today's unemployment numbers and point to and say, hey, this is a thing. And the context of it is, long term, we're still nowhere near where we need to be.
And then, Troy, talk to us about this payroll tax holiday. Hey, I don't even know what that is, but apparently a lot of people may not.
Yeah. So if you're a W-2 employee, if somebody pays you for a job, not a contract worker or a gig worker, if you get a W-2 at the end of each year, you can look on your pay stubs and you see something called FICA, F-I-C-A. Mm-hmm. And what that is about 7.6% of your income pulled out to support Social Security, disability insurance, federal disability insurance, and Medicare. And your employer collects those taxes from you holds on to them and then submits them, matches it, I should say, matches that amount and then submits it to the federal government quarterly, let's say. Well, the payroll tax holiday is what President Trump signed via executive order in August. And he said, you know, part of the CARES Act allowed us to let employers stop collecting or stop submitting their portion of this payroll tax, their 7.6%. And we should do the same thing for people. The president can't necessarily change the tax code without an act of Congress. So his executive order really means, yes, employers cannot collect these taxes and employees' paychecks will go up. But without a change to the tax code, this money is just going to have to be paid back in 2021, meaning employees will be paying back the taxes that they didn't pay the last 4 months of this year, and they'll be paying their normal FICA taxes, their normal payroll tax as well. So this confusion and uncertainty has led most companies across the country, including here in Idaho, to not implement this yet. They are still looking, they're waiting for better guidance from the IRS and trying to figure out, you know, should we do this for our employees? Is this a good thing? Is there too much uncertainty? And of course, at only 4 months long, there's only so long that you can wait before you just wash your hands of it and move on.
Well, and if you have to pay that back, I mean, instead of like that 7 to 7.5%, I mean, you're looking at 14, 14.5% that you'd see coming out of your paycheck in 2021.
Right. And for the average earner in Idaho, that's going to be $200, $225 a month. This is not peanuts that we're talking about. Yeah. So it would come out over time next year if it did have to be paid back. So it's not like people would get a bill for it, but their paychecks would be reduced below where they would have been otherwise if the program hadn't been implemented in the first place. So,
and what people would be planning to see on their paycheck.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who wants to make that trade, who thinks that trade is a good idea.
I would agree with that. Thank you all for coming in today. Appreciate your time. We've been talking with Kevin Richert with Idaho Ed News, Troy Oppie with Boise State Public Radio News, and we welcomed Rachel Spacek with the Idaho Press. Rachel covers agriculture, Latinos, and Canyon County for the Idaho Press. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace out.
Peace out, Kevin. Happy Friday, everybody. We'll be back with more Idaho Matters right after this.